Good morning. You may open your Bible, if you'd like, to the book of Hebrews. That sounds familiar since we've been opening our Bible to the book of Hebrews for some time now. But the text for our lesson this morning is found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 7. If you'll turn there, we'll begin reading at verse 22 in just a little bit and read down through the rest of the chapter as a beginning place for our study. It's good to see each one of you present this morning. It's good to have you here. And those that are online, we're glad that you're watching with us and worshiping with us this morning. And glad that you can be with us one more time as we plan to do another chapter in our life. I'll have some more to say about that when we get through toward the end of the service today. Hebrews chapter 7, let's begin reading with verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. So as the priests got old and died away, then another would take his place. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save us to the utmost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives and makes intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, to, as those priests did, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appointed as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of an oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been perfected forever. Now, our lesson today, we're going to be talking about the unchangeable Christ in a changing world. I think when we start talking about the world and thinking about the world, if you think back as long as you can remember, that there have been a lot of changes in this world. We know that. I know from the time that I was just a boy until now, there's been an awful lot of changes in the world. I'm going to try to think about a few of those and call to remembrance a few of those things right in the beginning of our lesson this morning, and then we'll get into the main part of our lesson. This world is a changing world. The manner of warfare, you think about waging war and how it was back at the time that this was written. And the warfare was with swords and shields and with bows and arrows and chariots, horses and chariots and things of that nature. Well, what about today? Well, we have rocket ships today, and we have the supersonic jets, and we have different things that we use, and the missiles that are capable of being fired off here and to going into any other country just about and hitting a spot, just almost a target that unreal in our thinking, of course. And then we have missiles that would be fired from those countries over here, and we have missiles that will intercept those missiles that are coming in and destroy them before they get to our country. And so the warfare has changed considerably from the time that we read here in the Bible to what it is today. And what about transportation? When I was growing up, we went, most places we went, a horse and a wagon and things of that nature. A lot of people traveled by buggy, or they traveled by stagecoach. Our mail was delivered by Pony Express. So what about transportation? Now we have the fast cars and we have the fast jets that we can go from one place to another, go all the way across country in a day's time, where it took months to go before when we were traveling back years ago. And what about household tasks? They've changed considerably. I remember back years ago when I was just a boy growing up, I remember watching my mother wash on an old rub board. And then, of course, we got electricity, and there was the ringer-type washer, and then it did kept on advancing. Now you push a button, and it washes the clothes, dries the clothes, and everything. It doesn't fold them and put them in the drawer for you, does it, Carla? So, but the household tasks are much different now to what it was. I remember when I was a boy, always late in the afternoon, you had to bring in wood for the cook stove and wood to heat with if it's wintertime. You had to bring water because you didn't have the water in the house at that time. We had a spring that we brought our water from. And farming, what about farming? How it's changed. When I was helping to farm, we farmed with mules, with stock. We didn't have a tractor until I was a teenager, and we got an old rough tractor to do the breaking and disking with, getting ready to plant, but still we did most of the plowing with mules. So farming has changed considerably. Now you have tractors with air conditioning and radio, and a lot of them are run by satellite. You can just set up there and they'll drive theirself and all that kind of thing. Change the amount of fertilizer that you're putting out as to the amount that's needed at that particular time. So farming has changed. And what about medicine? Well, the medical field has changed also. You know, back years ago, there was the wonder drug penicillin that came out, that helped many people. But that has been outdated now, and many different medicines that have come about, and a lot of that has come about because of our space travel and things of that nature. But medicine has changed considerably, and you have wonder drugs now that can do miracles that did not do before. And Kevin was talking about Dale Robbins this morning and the procedure that he had a heart valve replaced this last week in his heart. And they didn't even have to do open heart surgery to do that. They went up through his leg into his heart and put that valve in there. This valve, new valve, went into the old valve and replaced it. And that was just unheard of. You hear people having heart surgery now that was unheard of before. And what about radio? You know, it's quite different now. My first recollection of radios, we had an old battery-operated radio, and half the time the batteries was dead, and you couldn't get anything. And so this changed considerably. Now you've got Bluetooth, you've got all these other things that makes it so easy. I know Hunter had a turntable that he got for Christmas, and he put it up on the counter the other day, and he had a speaker sitting over on the other counter. It wasn't even a wire run to the speaker, and it was running and playing music and everything. He said, well, that's Bluetooth. Well, that's changed from what it was when I was growing up. We didn't know what Bluetooth was when I was growing up. So radio has changed. And what about television? I don't know whether you can remember or not, but I can remember when television, it was hard to even see the image on the television. It was so snowy, you couldn't hardly see a picture. Now it's just as plain as if you were sitting there with them in the living room. And so television has changed. Radar has changed. The atomic power has changed. And we have supersonic jets, and we have all these different things that have changed. And church creeds have changed. You know, man has changed a lot in church creeds to include things that God did not include in what they claim is their worship service. And so all these things have changed. The world has changed considerably. And just about everything you think of, there's been a lot of changes in those areas. But you know, human beings have not really changed, even though the world changes and we think about human beings changing, but human beings have not really changed. And I want to show you that this morning. Man still has the same greed that characterized Lot. You remember when Abraham and Lot, when their herds got so big that they had to separate, and so Abraham gave Lot the choice. Instead of Lot saying, no, you're the older, you're the senior one of the family, you need to have first choice to me. Lot looked down the fertile valleys and thought about all the things that could happen with him, and he chose the plains and moved towards Sodom. And so here was that greed that he had. And man hasn't changed. Man still has that greed, just like he did the time that Lot did here. Man still has the same love for preeminence and power as Diotrephes did. You remember in 3 John chapter 9, it said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Well, there's still people today who love to have the preeminence, and we see problems within the church today. Problems a lot of times within the eldership because one person wants to be the head honcho, and He wants to have all the say, and nothing goes unless he thinks of it first. I've been places where it was like that. And so this causes problems. So man hasn't changed. Man still lacks preeminence. Man likes to have the power that others maybe do not have. Man still has the same love for money that it did back in the time when the Bible was written. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But those who will desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kind of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith, have in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And so man still has that love for money as he did then. You know, some maybe more than others, but we're still trying to become a millionaire. We're still trying to make a million. I had a first cousin one time. That's all he thought about was making $1 million. That never has been my goal. But at least there are a lot of people who still love money to the point that they'll forsake the Lord and forsake the services of the Lord to do the things that they want to in the world and to have the money that they want. A lot of people cheat and steal and rob and all that kind of thing, trying to have the money that they desire. Man still has the same lust of the flesh that he did back in that particular time too. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He says, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Then he goes on to say, "All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that abideth, or he that doeth the will of God, abideth forever." And so man still has that lust of the flesh that's there, that it was to begin with. So he hasn't changed from that standpoint. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, there is a long list of the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. And he goes on down to name a long list of those there in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. And so man still is affected by the lust of the flesh, and he desires these things, and it causes him to do a lot of things that he ought not to do and be in a situation that he ought not to be in because of that lust of the flesh that he may have. And man still has need for guidance because he has the inability to guide himself. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, he says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." And so man still has that need to be directed by the Lord because he's not capable of directing his own steps. As great as we may think we are and as powerful as we may think we are, we're still not able to direct our own steps. It's God who helps us to direct our steps and to go in the way that we need to go. Man still needs salvation because of sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And since all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, then all of us are still in need of salvation. So man is still the same there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So man's need for salvation is still there, just like it's always been. Man needs encouragement because of weakness. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So man needs encouragement. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we're not as strong as we ought to be. And we need the encouragement to do what God would have us to do. Man needs sympathy still because of sorrow. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things high above. Associate with the humble and do not be wise in your own opinion." And so we're to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Man still needs that sympathy because of sorrow. He needs hope because of death. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. But now he is dead. This was David talking when his son had died. Now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I can go to him, but he shall not return to me. So man needs hope because of death. So man has not changed. Well, what about Christ? Christ is unchangeable. He's not changed either. As a matter of fact, he does not change because he is from everlasting to everlasting. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And so Jesus has not changed. He is still the Almighty. Listen to what it says in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ere you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so Jesus doesn't change. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is still the same as he was before. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. And so Jesus is the beginning. He is the ending. He's the Almighty. He does not change. He is still King of Kings, who has all authority. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then, of course, he charged them to go and to make disciples of all nations. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus is still King of Kings. He is still Lord of Lords. So he hasn't changed. His laws are unchangeable. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. So Jesus' word is still the same as it was before. It's not changeable. It has not changed. And what was taught years ago, it still teaches the same today. His conditions of salvation are unchangeable. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, you remember this is where Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked him a question. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus talked to Nicodemus and told him, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, his laws have not changed. They're still the same as they were then when he talked to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so this law is still the same as it was then. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, he said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus' law hasn't changed. It's still the same as it was before. And it'll be that way as long as time lasts. He is still man's only Savior. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it talked about, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And so Jesus is still man's only Savior. It's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Jesus is the way. And his way has not changed. His attitude toward sin has not changed. In John chapter 8 and verse 31 it said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And the next verse he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus' attitude towards sin has not changed. Now, our attitude towards sin may have changed, and we tolerate a lot of things that now that we did not just a few years ago. But that doesn't mean that God does. It doesn't mean that Jesus does. His law is still the same as it was before. His attitude towards sin is just like it was then. His attitude toward disbelief is the same. In John 8 and verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sin. For if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin." So Jesus' attitude then toward disbelief is the same as it was then. "Unless I believe in him, then I will die in my sin. If I die in sins, then where he is, I cannot be there." And that's where I want to be, is where Jesus is, at the right hand of the Father on high. His attitude toward error is the same. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So when we teach the doctrine of men, then it's vain. It's not the true worship, but it's vain worship. And so his attitude toward that error and sin is still the same as it was before. His attitude toward false bodies have not changed, denominationalism and the such. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." And that's not talking about tomato plants. That's talking about the different denominations, the different churches that have been planted there. And everyone that's not planted, that's according to his will be uprooted, as he says there in Matthew 15 and verse 13. It means they will not stand. Like we studied in the New Testament about the one who built on the rock and the one who built on the sand. Whenever the one that built on the sand, when the rains ascended and the winds blew and the floods came, then that fell because it was not built on the right foundation. It was not built on the rock, but on the sand. So his answer is that every plant will be uprooted that's not built on the foundation that needs to be built upon. His attitude toward man is still the same as it was before. In John 15 and verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." Jesus Christ loved man enough that he laid down his life for mankind, laid down his life there on the cross that he might, that man might have the salvation of his sins. Now the world has changed. Man has not changed. Jesus Christ has not changed. Man's needs are still the same as they were before. And the way we get those things is the same way we did before, by listening to God and doing what he tells us to do. Man's attitude towards sin may have changed. We may tolerate many things now that we didn't just a few years ago. But that doesn't mean that God tolerates those things, because we do. We look at divorce and remarriage different to what we did a few years ago, maybe. We may look at drinking a little different to what we did a few years ago. We may think about drugs and things of that nature, since they've become so common. We may think of them differently to what we did a few years ago, but that doesn't mean that God does. God still thinks of them just the same way that he always has. Jesus' law has not changed. It's the same today as it was yesterday, and it'll be the same forever. The lesson is yours this morning. We live in a changing world. In this world we have to live in, and the devil tries to make it appealing to us to where we'll listen to him and we'll follow his dictates instead of what God has said to us. But we must listen to what God says, study his word, have Bible study every day to where we can learn what God would have us to do, and then serve him in the right way. If you're here today and you have not obeyed the gospel, there's no better time than now to become a child of God. The baptistry is filled, clothing is provided. We're here to help you if you need to be baptized today. If you're already a child of God but you haven't lived like you ought to and haven't served God in the right way, you know that there are changes that need to be made in your life, then we're here to help you to do that today as well. And we'd be happy today if you would come in obedience to the gospel and become a child of God, or have your sins wiped away, that you can leave this place today free from sin in the way that God would have you to do. Won't you come while we stand together and as we sing?